Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in today to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today, we have a never been done before. I'm very excited to have with us on the show today 15-year-old social activist and author Hannah Alpert. Teen blogger, motivational speaker, and social activist are just a few of her titles. Hannah Alpert has been named to Bloomberg's Ones to Watch in 2018 list. Hannah is the only teenager on this prestigious list. In fact, Hannah Alpert's first book, Momentous, Small Acts, Big Change, is officially on the bookshelves and reached number one on Amazon's list in sociology and in the top 10 best-selling books for teens in Indigo and Chapters. The book's empowering message supports Hannah's continual goal of providing quality content for adolescents. As a writer, activist, public speaker, global citizen, and one of the youngest verified social media users on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, 14-year-old Hannah Alpert, actually 15, happy belated birthday, it was Hannah's birthday last week, I just found out, has found power in using her voice to inspire, motivate, and empower people of all ages to identify their passion and take action. Perhaps best known as a motivational speaker and ambassador, she is committed to promoting big change through small, everyday actions, and believes in the power of young people to shape the world they want to live in. Momenta shares this journey on the global stage and demonstrates her message coming to life. Hannah says, "This book has been a passion project of mine for years, and I am so happy kids, teenagers, and adults are reading it to make a difference." She goes on to say that, "I believe that if there are many of us making small actions, it will lead to big change." The title of this book grew out of that idea. When all of our actions are added up, the impact will be momentous, and we will change the world. It is about all of us and all of our moments when we are inspired, passionate, and moved to act. Momentous. Thank you so much for joining us today, Hannah.
Thank you. That was such a nice introduction. Thank you.
Well, my gosh, I had like two or three to choose from. You have so many accomplishments. I think on the other bio I had for you, you started your own blog when you were 9 years old. How did you become so passionate at such a young age?
Well, I started a blog, but I didn't know what I wanted it to be about. All I knew was that I loved animals. My parents started introducing me to issues like deforestation and animal habitat loss and climate change. And I became really devastated because these were the animals that I loved and us humans were hurting them. But I turned that devastation and sadness into motivation to help. And so I started a blog in hopes that I could inspire other people to be more eco-friendly and as well follow their own path. But now my blog and what I talk about in public speeches and on my social media has grown to include so many issues such as education, poverty, anti-bullying, access to clean water, youth empowerment, and so much more. And I really can't believe that it's gone this far.
Oh my gosh. Were you ever fearful or did you ever have doubts and think, well, my gosh, I'm 9 years old. How could I go out and write a blog or start becoming a public speaker? It's one of the number one fears of human beings is speaking. Were there ever any hesitations you had or did you just naturally gravitate towards it?
Honestly, no. I think that's the one thing that I remember when I started, that I never thought, oh, I can't do this because I'm so young. I really never thought that. And one of the reasons, because I feel like kids don't really think a lot of no, but they say a lot of yes. But it's also that I surrounded myself with positive people who will support me, whether that's my parents or my friends or fellow activists who will support me and who will say yes to my activism and what I want to do with my life. And I mean, also, I think that everybody has a gift that they can use to make a difference. Some people's might not be public speaking, and that's okay, but mine is.
I know, I'm with you. I just had a gentleman come into my office for an interview, and he said, "You're just so good with words." And I told him the same thing. I said, as human beings, just like you said, we all have gifts. I'm terrible at redlining contracts, but this gentleman, for example, was great at it. And I think it's best that we help uplift one another and not compare ourselves. Because if you or I are out there speaking and somebody says, "Oh, I'm not as good of a speaker as Hannah or Jennifer," that's not going to help motivate you to greatness. It's about focusing on what you are good at rather than what you're not, right?
Exactly. I mean, people produce the show. People write the show. People get the people that are interviewed on your show. And so everybody has a skill that they can bring to the table.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what's really brilliant about your story is the yes. I love that you brought that up, because I think as human beings, and you look at children, even very young children, and everything is yes and. How can I? Of course, this is possible. Just like you said, it never occurred to you that it wasn't. And so I wonder, as human beings and as adults, at what point do we become cultured to say no?
It's when there are people that encourage them to say no, or encourage their or discourage their beliefs. I've received a lot of negative feedback over the years from people saying that I'm too young to understand what I'm to understand activism, and I'm too young to change the world. I remember that I did a post on Inauguration Day the day after the election, because I was sad that Hillary Clinton didn't win, and it was posted on Yahoo. And I got about 300 comments, and almost all of them were negative things. And I remember one of them said, "Oh, young people don't even understand the definition of the word terrorist, so they can't, they don't deserve the right to talk about this." It's that kind of hate and ignorance that discourages youth, and not just youth, but adults, to not make a difference. And so the only way that youth and adults can make a difference is that if we surround them with this positivity and support, because negativity isn't going to help anybody.
So can I play devil's advocate with you for a moment on this?
Yes, definitely.
So would you say that, say you get a cynical person, they could be any age, they could be 12, they could be 20, they could be 40, or they could be 60. Do you think it's possible to shift that person's cynicism? And if so, how would you do it?
I definitely think that you can. A lot of it is just about education. I find that a lot of people don't donate to causes, but it's not because, a lot of times it's not because they're ignorant, but maybe they are, but it's because that they might not know enough about the issue, you know? And so you just need to educate them. I remember that Randy Lennox, who is the president of Bell Media and was the previous president of Universal Music, he gave me a piece of advice that I'll never forget. He said, "No is a request for more information." And so I always remember that. And he's so smart. But also saying that, remember that not everybody's opinions and beliefs can be changed. You know, I don't really try to fix other people's beliefs. My demographic, the people that I talk to about the issues that I speak about, and those people are the people who want to know more. Those people are the people who might make a difference later in life. I'm not going to talk to the people that don't support me if it's not going to do them any good.
Yeah, it's funny because you're so wise for any age, actually, because I noticed as a young adult, I kept trying to get people to see my perspective. And again, in some ways, even calling myself, I would say I was very ignorant in that way, because you become very myopic and saying, "Oh, well, if I just try harder, then I can get people to see the light and be
kinder."
It's not true. And then you suffer because of it unnecessarily, because human beings are going to do whatever human beings are going to do. So I think that's brilliant.
Exactly.
So tell me a little bit about where you would love to go. Like, if you had all your way, here you already have your book, which I definitely want to talk about, and your speaking and your activism. If you had all your way, what would the rest of your life look like?
I would love to be a journalist. It's my dream. It's what I aspire to be. My end goal is to work at CNN.
Nice.
I don't really know if I want to work as a producer or an anchor, but I know that I want to work in the broadcast journalism field, and I want to work at CNN.
Wow, that's amazing. And have you ever read the book Think and Grow Rich? Do you know that book at all?
I haven't. What's that?
If you get a chance, I was lucky enough to have some of the team who just did a movie based on the book on the show. And it's this epic book written by Napoleon Hill about 100 years ago. And he talks about having a single focused desire, and that desire, and it could be anything, knowing you want to be a journalist, knowing you want to work at CNN. One of my friends knew he wanted to work at Google. We actually had him on the show back in June 2016. And he wound up being the youngest guy to ever be hired by Google. And just because he said so. So it made me think of you.
That's
with
amazing.
CNN. I think CNN should hear this interview and offer you a job, or hear one of your many engagements, and you could be the youngest person to ever be hired at CNN. So you never know.
Listen, I'll come down to LA and work out of the LA office.
See, I love that. And it goes back to what you just said of yes and. So many of us would say, oh, well, that sounds impossible, or come up with a list of all the reasons why something couldn't work or wouldn't work. And I think that's where we get tripped up sometimes as human beings.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the word no just discourages us, but the word yes encourages us to do more.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. And so tell me too, I want to know more about Momentous and Small Acts and Big Change. So what had you decide to A, write a book, and B, to focus on Small Acts and Big Change?
I mean, I have so many platforms that I use in my activism and in my change making, whether it's social media or motivational speaking or my blog. I have a lot. And when I learned that I had this ability to write a book, I wanted to do it, because why not create this another platform for me to reach other people, to inspire them to make a difference? And I mean, I was so lucky as to have been approached by the president of my publisher, Nelson Education, Steve Brown, and he came up to me after I did a speech in Vancouver, and he told me that he loved my message. He wanted me to write a book, and he wanted to publish it. And so, of course, I said yes. And Momentous really surrounds this idea, the ideas that I believe in, that I know that anyone can make a difference, you know, no matter how young you are, how much money you have, where you live. It's around the idea that it's the little things that add up to make a big difference, small acts, big change, and that we have to do it together, because we can do far much more together than we can do alone.
So true. And so what are the small acts that you would recommend? Say we might have people tuning in from all over the world right now thinking, okay, well, this sounds good as a hypothetical, but what does Hannah mean by small acts, big change? Could you give us some examples?
I really believe in raising awareness on issues, you know, whether it's poverty or education or anti-bullying or mental health. So raising awareness in your community, your school, your workspace, your office, and talking about the issues, because people aren't going to donate money or raise awareness about it themselves or take action on it if they don't know what the issue is. And so educating people is so important, especially with issues like mental health and anti-bullying, especially because mental health is really just becoming well known, and we need it to get out there, because 5 in 5 people have mental health. And so I think that one of the most important things that you can do is raising awareness. It's also about doing small things like opening the door for someone and acts of kindness, because I believe that we can erase this culture of hate and indifference by creating another one full of kindness and compassion and empathy.
I think that's brilliant, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I will say that there are people out there. In fact, there was something that I had just posted recently, an article I wrote about Martin Luther King, that there's going to be people out there who will always want to spit on you and put you down. I don't know if you heard this story or not, but in honor of Martin Luther King Day last week in the United States, there was a great story about Martin Luther King where he was in the middle of walking from one speaking engagement to another, and a gentleman walked up to him and spit on him. And he sat there and he just looked down where the man spat. He pulls out his handkerchief and then he wiped the spit off of his lapel, carefully folded the handkerchief back up, and handed it back to the gentleman who spit upon him and said, "I think that this belongs to you," and walked away. And I thought that was
everybody should learn from Martin Luther King.
I know, it's just so amazing, is that this was a man who was alive over, you know, 50 years ago, and yet we're still talking about him. We're still putting forth his ideas and lessons to this day. But what would it take for us not to take it personally when somebody bullies us or hates us, or even like you said, you know, when you had that article on Yahoo on Inauguration Day, and to not take it personally. What did that take for you as a human being to not take it personally that you had 300 people saying perhaps negative or unpleasant things? How did you overcome that?
Well, I think that, first of all, I think that even Martin Luther King probably took that spit in the face personal. You know, I think everybody takes those comments and those negative, shameful, senseless acts and comments and sayings personal. But I think that I really do believe in kill them with kindness, you know, whether it's just simply wiping it off or walking away or saying, you know what, have a great day. And so it sometimes can come off as sarcastic, but I love that. And saying something like have a great day or I hope you feel better, something like that, that's so much better than just fighting the hate with hate. You know, hate breeds hate, but kindness breeds kindness. And so if someone is being rude to you or if someone is saying that you can't do something, either ignore it or be kind and sarcastic. I think that that's honestly the best thing you could do.
Well, I would go a step further. I would say be kind and not even be sarcastic. When I was your age and in high school, for whatever reason, I was friends with somebody who a lot of people didn't like. And I remember that people would say mean things to me and so forth. And I actually just was like, same thing. I just said, oh, you know, good for you. Absolutely. And just didn't respond or react to them. And it drove them mad. And everybody thought I was being sarcastic, but I was really like, okay, you guys have your opinions and I have mine. So I think that's a great piece of advice to anybody out there, whether it's sarcastic or not, is just not reacting and maybe just responding, like you said, from a place of kindness.
Definitely.
So tell me a little bit about anybody out there who might be looking at you as inspiration, no matter what age they're at or where their background might be. What would you suggest to somebody who's looking to build their brand and help go after their passion and dream? How would they go about that?
The first thing that I would say is to find your community. You know, find those like-minded people who are passionate about the same things that you are. Thankfully, there are tons of organizations, resources, and allies out there in the world who will be proud to let you into their circle and talk to you about how you're going to make a difference and have those people sort of be your accountability buddies and have them be your people that will help you through your change-making journey. I'm proud to have a community of people that I can relate to and that I can talk to if I'm having a hard time or I want them to help me with an initiative or a campaign. And so definitely find your community, whether it's online or offline. Also, I have a formula that I use in all of my speeches and in my everyday life. And it's issue plus gift equals change. So you find your issue, it's your cause, the thing that you're passionate about. And then you find your gifts, that's your talent, you know, whether it's science or music or art, writing or public speaking. You put those two together and you make a difference. So with me, I was passionate about the environment and I loved to write. And so I created a blog. With other people, they might be really good at science. So maybe they develop a way to help solve hunger or some really big issue in the world. And so you can use what you're good at to make a difference.
Brilliant. I love that. And I'll ask you a question that was funny. One of my friends recently asked me, Jen, do you know people who have monetized their YouTube channel, their blogs, etc.? I know in theory, it seems great. And a lot of people, no matter what age they're at, again, might be thinking, well, no, A, this is impossible. And B, why would I invest this time and energy? And then C, how do I monetize it? What would be your recommendation to people if they're looking to get subscribers on YouTube or monetize their blog? How would they go about doing that?
Oh, that's a really good question. I really believe in sort of this ripple effect. I mean, how I got my blog to be pretty big. I mean, over hundreds of thousands of views in just a matter of, I think, a month or a few weeks. So it was just because you tell other people, you encourage them to tell other people, then they tell other people and they tell other people. That's really how the movement of Pink Shirt Day got going. This boy was getting bullied in grade 9 because he was wearing a pink shirt. And then these two boys in grade 12 thought that this wasn't right. And so they emailed everyone they knew, told them to wear pink shirts the next day. And they told them to email everyone they knew. And then the next day, everyone showed up wearing pink. And now Pink Shirt Day is one of the biggest anti-bullying movements in the world because of a ripple effect, because other people told other people.
It really is amazing that in the society that we live in now, it's something like a pink shirt, a video, a blog post can go viral overnight. And I think it's something that you also have to be cognizant about, because you want to be sure whatever you post is in line with your brand, or that you're willing to back up whatever you're standing for. Take those 12th graders who wanted to stand up. They probably got their share of people who disagreed with them or gave them a hard time.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think it's important that you have a backbone and a foundation, and that you don't veer from your values. Because I think that if somebody does something like that, and then all of a sudden it catches like wildfire and spreads, that you have to be ready and willing to stand behind the movement, because you could very well just like look at yourself or many people, the gentleman who started the pink shirt movement, all of a sudden, next thing you know, you could be a global thought leader and not even mean to be one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, because a lot of people don't start out with the goal of just changing the world. It's their movement or their idea just grows.
Yeah, I think it's great. And I think one other thing that you and I had talked about that I love that you shared is when you're talking about using your platform for good, is once you have that network, whether it's people who are subscribing to your channel, followers on Insta or Snapchat or whatever that might be, I think it's about leveraging it for good. And I loved what you shared as well earlier about donating, whether you're donating your time or your energy towards something you're mm-hmm. passionate about. To me personally, what I found is that's what has people go from being depressed, unhappy, and feeling dissatisfied in life to feeling like they have a purpose and something that they can give back to the world.
Totally.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. One of my dear friends went through a very hard period in her life where she was fired, she had a guy break up with her, et cetera, and then she found out she was passionate about food because she had had an eating disorder at that time, mm-hmm. and she wanted to do something to help so that everybody could have food. And as soon as she got on board with this charity and really got behind them and started donating time, money, et cetera, her whole life transformed. She met the guy of her dreams. She wound up getting her dream position, but I don't think it's possible unless you're in that space of giving something freely, without expecting anything in return.
That's incredible.
Yeah, food for thought. And so what's it like being at school with
food for thought, because you get it like food because she's...
Oh, yeah. Got it.
Sorry. Keep going.
That was brilliant. So tell me, what's it like to be at school? Are people accepting? Do you ever have people who give you a hard time at school? I know you said you had those people online who might have given you a hard time. What's it like to be in your position, yeah, 15 in school?
Last year, when I was in grade 8, there were a lot of people who were negatively judging my activism, and honestly, it sucked. And so I get it when people say that their friends don't understand or disrespect what they're doing. And it sucked. A lot of people were saying that we're being very sarcastic, because I feel like that's my generation, and saying, oh my gosh, Hannah, I loved your blog post, but we're saying it in the most sarcastic tone. And there were so many people who were talking about how my activism means nothing, and that's not making a difference, and just really awful stuff, and that I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And it was pretty awful, but I got over it, and I killed them with kindness, and I got to high school, and I love it. I think high school, there's so many different people with different interests. And I think it's such a great community. And I have so many people who support me at my school. And if they don't support me, they might not fully understand what I'm doing. But that's okay, because I have a lot of friends who are blissfully unaware of what I'm doing. And that's perfectly okay.
So that's funny. And because I look back at when I was starting off in high school, and I think that I went perhaps down a wrong path, or not a wrong path, it was the perfect path mm-hmm. to get me where I am sitting in this chair today, getting to do what I love and make a difference. But I feel like I definitely went to the dark side between 14 to maybe 18 or 19. And a lot of it did have to do with the friends I chose at that time. Do you find mm-hmm. that somebody, say you've been really good friends with somebody, and then they give you pushback or say hurtful things yes. about you, do you keep them as a friend and see if there's a way to remedy that? Or do you just cut them out of your life so that it's not going to disempower you going forward?
Mm-hmm. I mean, last year, I had a friend who I was friends with her for 4 years or something. And she all of a sudden, I don't like derogatory terms. I don't like the terms like go kill yourself, you're gay or retarded. I think that it's insulting and I just don't really like it. And so this girl who I'd been friends with for many years started telling me for my activism and for being a student secretary, I think, to go kill myself and just all this kind of weird stuff. And so it was, these people mean it as a joke, but then when you tell them to stop, they don't. And so I cut her out of my life completely. And now we're in the same school, but we don't talk. And so if there's ever someone that you've known for a long time, if they are a good friend, quote unquote, good friend, and they are insulting you because of what you love, or they are discouraging you to do what you love, then they're not your true friends. If you're an activist or you're doing something that you truly love and it has a good influence on people, then keep doing that. You know, if your friend is discouraging you from doing something amazing that you love, then they're not your friend. And so just cut the toxic out of your life.
I think that's good advice, and I wish I could have used it when I was your age. And I will say that one thing I've learned in my years as I've encountered many different types of people, the good, the bad, and the ugly, both personally and professionally, is that I think that there's two types of criticism. My personal experience has been there's the criticism that's intended to be malicious. It's intended to be hurtful, to cut you down, and to put you in your place. And then there was a term that I used last year in a woman's class I did named Alison Armstrong that I really appreciated called positive resistance. And she gave the example that say your best friend knows that you're about to go and speak about something, but that your life might be in danger. Like, let's say there's somebody there who's a stalker or who hates you. He or she, that friend, might say, well, Hannah, is this really in your highest and best good? Or do you have the right security there to support you? The difference, I think, is what's called positive resistance, where somebody who loves you or cares about you in a meaningful way might cause you to consider a situation differently versus somebody
doing it for your own good.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's important to differentiate that because for anybody out there, so for anybody out there listening, I think that if somebody out there is demeaning, degrading, condescending, hurtful, harmful in any way to you, like those examples that you gave, I think that's the line that shouldn't be crossed. But if you have people who have your highest and best good at heart and might sometimes question what you do, but in a way that helps to expand you as a human being, probably very much like what you're referring to as far as being informed on a subject. I think sometimes we become closed-minded as a human being, cognitive bias and so forth, where if we don't agree with somebody else's opinion, we shut down and say they're being mean to us, where I think we're...
And then turns into debate and that they're not being good friends. Yeah.
Yeah, versus I think what you're doing is great, where like you said, go out there and get information, engage in a dialogue, but an empowering one where nobody is calling names or being harmful, but in an educated dialogue to help expand both parties for the highest and best good of all involved. And I think that would prevent a lot of upset, lost friendships, personally and professionally.
And I mean, it's like you were saying about differentiating. I mean, it's quickly rephrasing my answer. If someone is demeaning you for what you love that is putting a positive impact on the world, then they might not be good in your life. But if it's for your own good, and if you're doing something that might not have the best impact on you or other people, then they're doing it for your own good. Yeah.
Yeah. And I will tell you, I've known in my years, I've had some people who have come back and apologized to me for the way they spoke to me 5, 10, 15 years ago. And it's so rewarding when you don't have to make somebody else wrong. You don't have to be the one to pass judgment and say, you're a bad person for having said or done X or Y at this point in my life. And just to still, like you said, kill them with kindness, send them love. And one day somebody might walk up to you, see you down the street and say, gosh, Hannah, I'm so sorry for that time that I said that mean or hurtful thing to you. Can you forgive me? And it's so wonderful just to be able to let it go and just realize that as human beings, we're not all perfect and that we're going to learn and grow and that there's the opportunity to forgive there.
And that people change, yeah.
Yeah, that's part of being a human being. Well, Hannah, you've given us so many wonderful tips and things, and I definitely want people to go out and get your book, Momentous. Can you tell our listeners 2 to 3 things that you would love to have them walk away from today's show with?
Know that you have the power and the capacity to make the world a better place. And whether it's big or small actions. You don't have to wake up one day saying, I'm going to change the world today. It's the little things that add up to make a big difference. Those are the tangible acts that are going to change the world. Also, just really finding your community, finding those people that will help you, because you can't make a difference alone. Every single person that has been successful in anything has done it with someone else and has had a support system. So you have to do it together and really find your issue, find your gift, and make a difference.
Brilliant, Hannah. Well, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show today. I know it's a school night, so we greatly appreciate you joining us at 7 o'clock your time. And I invite our listeners to tune in next week as we speak with Carolyn Thompson, who's going to be talking to us about what to do when there's no room for growth in your future. How can you handle that? So as always, if you miss any portion of today's show, you can always find it for download available immediately following the show on the LA Talk Radio website under Get Yourself the Job, or following the show in the latter part of the week, you can find it on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. You'll be able to find Hannah's show along with any other shows that we've had in the archives in the past. And we invite you to interact with us, leave us any comments or ratings that you might have, and interact with us on our Get Yourself the Job Facebook page as well. Thank you so much for joining us today, Hannah. Congratulations on being on Bloomberg's People to Watch list, and wishing everybody a wonderful week out there.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.